On ABC Radio Hobart, it's Breakfast with Rick Goddard.
As part of Science Week, we're just talking to a bunch of young Tassie scientists who've been getting around Tasmania's schools and spreading the word about what they're fascinated about. And my next scientist, who is also a fan of Amy Shark, I just found out, is honour student and bat ecologist. Hi, Elise.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Why'd you get into bats?
I got into bats because I'm really fascinated with mammals. And when I was in my undergrad, I really wanted to do a project with an industry. So I approached Forest Practices Authority and had a look to see what different projects they had. And they had a project looking at bats in Tasmania. And I thought that sounded really cool. So
yeah, right.
I went ahead and did that project. So yeah, it's been great.
Kind of not a thing you would expect them to be part or in charge of, eh? Is bat studies. So what's the project exactly?
So what I'm looking at is to see whether bats are using wet sclerophyll plantations. So down in southern Tasmania, we have quite a few wet sclerophyll plantations, but we aren't sure if bats are actually using those areas. So my study is looking to see if they're actually going into those spaces and if they're foraging or just having a bit of a look around. So,
I mean, that's so interesting, isn't it? Because we think about those plantations can be monocultures in a way.
Yeah.
And we can think of them as barren, but like what? Who does what? Like beasties do use them?
Well, there's a few different things that use them. So I know that they're for plantations can get quite a few insects. So as part of my study, I've also been trapping. I did some insect trapping as well, just to try and get an idea for what sort of prey was available in those areas. Because all bats in Tasmania are insectivorous, so they love to eat a good insect. So yeah, so I had a look at that as well.
Because the food obviously is going to be a key thing. So is the right food living there?
I think so. So there are generally, from what I've been catching in my traps, so moths, which are do give a bit of substance for bats, and there's also quite a few beetles living in the plantations as well. But what I've also been doing is been putting insect light traps in, which is what you use to catch the insects, in the native forests as well. So they're kind of almost doing a comparison study to see we'll put bat detectors and light traps in the plantation.
Sorry, hang on a second.
Sorry.
You get to work with bat detectors?
Yeah.
Quick, get the bat detector.
It's great.
Do you feel cool every time
you
say that?
Yeah, I feel a bit like that woman or
Batman. Totally, yeah. This is really interesting. This is a great dinner party conversation because everyone would go, well, native forests is so much better. So what do you find comparatively in terms of insect life?
Yeah, well, we're still kind of in the process of going through the data at the moment, but like this is really early days, but I am generally seeing that there are tends to be like kind of bigger sorts of insects, like insects tend to be bigger, and I guess bigger in the native forest, and that might be because there's more resources there. But it's still early days yet, so there might still be differences in the data that I just haven't processed yet. So.
And how do you find the bats?
Because
they're not big Tassie bats,
So bats like to live in tree hollows in Tasmania, so they don't really roost in caves. So generally what we've been doing is you just put the bat detectors in the native forest, generally where you often have tree hollows that are more plentiful, and then we'll put the bat detectors in the kind of in the plantations beside them, and then hopefully we can see if they're maybe even the native forest, and then if they're using the plantations beside them or not. So yeah, so hopefully we can find some interesting results.
You can't see Elise Hennessy, but as she talks about bats, she does these little bat movements. And they're really expressive, and I get a real picture of the animal itself. Do you spend much time actually with the bats?
Unfortunately, not a lot for my study, because with my study, we haven't been doing heart trapping, which is what you generally do if you want to catch the bats to see, I guess, like, and really see what's there. But we have to deploy the bat detectors during the day, and then we collect them about 3 or 4 days afterwards.
That's
so,
boring.
Yeah.
Hey, so interestingly then, what's your sense of bat populations? Are they getting smaller because the insects are smaller, or are the numbers smaller from a native forest to a plantation?
Yeah, we're not too sure at the moment because we are still processing the data, but it's really hard to know, I guess, how many bats are using an area, because with the bat detectors, you might have maybe one or two bats that are flying around a lot and they'll pick up lots of the echolocation calls made by the bats. Or you could have heaps and they just make a couple of calls. So it's more or less seeing what the bat activity is like in the different areas. So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
And what are the consequences of finding this out? Like, because you're working with industry, which is interesting as well.
Yeah.
Because it's always brave being a scientist with industry, but it's such important work.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you kind of go, cool, yes, there's less in a plantation, so what? Like,
yeah, so it's really hard at this stage just because we still have, like, preliminary data to know exactly what's going on. But hopefully, because I'm working with Forest Practices Authority, some of the information that I gather from my project might go towards the Forest Practices Code. So that's a code that they use and they have to review it quite regularly to make sure it's kind of up to date with the research that's happening at the moment. So, yeah, so that'll be really great. It goes into there.
And just that process of informing, I guess, how we interact with our landscape, which is so important. Because how much of Tassie is plantation? Like,
So I was actually having a look at the data yesterday.
Oh, thank goodness.
I think it's about, in 2017, there was a report. I think it was about 10% is plantation, I think.
That's a lot, eh?
Yeah, I think it's about 10%. But that number might be a bit different now, though. So it might be either greater or less than. So,
yeah. And then when you're working with industry, like on a project like this, and you finish that project, then like, do you still have a gig or do you have to go hunting around for the next one?
Yeah, I'm not too sure at this stage. but I think I do know that people who have done industry projects before, they've gone on and done other projects with those industries before. So there is opportunities there, quite possibly, which is really exciting.
And you've been getting around the schools. What story have you been telling at the schools?
Oh, I love telling kids the stories about when times when I got a leech on my steering wheel. That's been quite interesting.
How do you get a leech on your steering wheel?
Well, when you're walking through the bush to put the bat detectors out, there are lots of leeches because in the plantations, because they're wet sclerophyll plantations, there's lots of cutting grass, the garnia, which is quite tall, and the leeches kind of crawl on the garnia, and then as you're walking past, they crawl on you too. And so you'd hop in the car, ready to go, and then suddenly the leeches would be crawling up your arm and onto your hand, which can then get onto the steering wheel. So that's a bit scary.
That's a generation of kids going, right, nah, it's not for me.
It's good fun, though.
Hilarious. How do you get a leech off? What's your leech technique?
So generally I use salt to get the leeches off is the best way. But the only thing is when you put salt on a leech, it can kill them. So I've had friends who've gone along and got their water bottle and then quickly put water on them. So then that way gets the salt off. So that way you can try and save the leech's life so it doesn't die.
Because you don't want to be out there trashing the place, do you?
No. So generally, most of the time when a leech lands on you, you just kind of flick it off.
Yeah.
So you only ever put salt on them if they actually attach to your skin. But most of the time, I feel them before they actually attach, so you just flick them off, so then that way you're less likely to hurt them.
Right, well, if you've been listening to this thinking, I've got to get out, go find me some bats and some leeches, then I'll go get the forecast for you so you can work out the best weather to do it. And great to talk to you this morning.
Cool, thank you.
That's Elise Hennessy, honours student and bat ecologist.